From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Tuesday, November 15, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. Greg Hudson is reporting in the Register-Star that the legislative bodies of both Columbia and Greene counties have passed resolutions urging Governor Andrew M. Cuomo to take action that would ease the burden on individual counties to pay for public defenders. Individuals charged with a crime who cannot afford to pay for legal counsel are entitled under the U.S. Constitution to be defended by an appointed attorney paid for by the state. In New York, that obligation has shifted to the county level. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said, and I quote, "We've always been responsible for the program. It's a non-funded program that the state tells us that we have to do," end quote. Both Columbia and Greene counties have succeeded in funding their public defender programs in recent years, but the state has now raised the eligibility level for court-appointed representation. Groden said, and I quote, "They raised the income level that would make people eligible for indigent defense. Anybody who has an income under $47,000 a year is eligible for free representation," end quote. Earlier this year, state lawmakers passed the Public Defense Mandate Relief Act. If signed into law, the bill would require the state to reimburse counties for expenses they incur in maintaining a public defender program. That bill is currently on Cuomo's desk awaiting signature. You can read that full story in the Register-Star. William J. Kimball is reporting in the Daily Freeman that Ulster County's environmental initiatives and achievements will be featured in the December issue of National Geographic magazine. County Executive Michael Hine made the announcement at SUNY's Ulster Kingston Center on Monday, November the 14th. The pullout supplement, called, and I quote, "Dreaming Green," end quote, credits the county for encouraging development while at the same time working to protect natural habitats, Hine said. He said, and I quote, "We're the first and only county in the state of New York to become net carbon neutral. We're the only county to get 100% of our electricity from renewable sources," end quote. Hine hopes the attention from National Geographic will draw more people to visit Ulster County. The monthly publication circulates worldwide and is printed in about 40 languages. The December issue of the magazine will be available at newsstands later this month. 2 weeks ago, the White House commended Ulster County for its efforts to electrify the vehicle fleet. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Claire Hughes and Bethany Bump are reporting in the Times Union that the superintendent of Shenandoah Central Schools has reported the number of instances of extreme bigotry have increased in that Clifton Park district during the past week. In a letter sent to parents, Superintendent L. Oliver Robinson wrote that some students, and I quote, "seemingly emboldened by the Trump presidential win," end quote, are openly expressing both racist and anti-Muslim sentiments. Robinson wrote, and I quote, "We are better than that as a school community, and I am soliciting your assistance to ensure that remains the case," end quote. Since Trump's win on November 8th, various schools, universities, and other organizations have reported a rise in racial and anti-Muslim harassment. The nature of the incidents that occurred in the Shenandoah district are unclear. Robinson did not return the Times Union calls asking for elaboration. You can read that full story in the Times Union. Nick Olivari is reporting in the Daily Mail that the Hudson chapter of the Elks is one of the few in the state to avoid paying property and school taxes. That's $14,000 a year the city, county, and local schools do not receive. David Carr, a past national president of the Elks, who currently oversees lodges in New York, Vermont, Connecticut, and Rhode Island from Crown Point, New York, said, and I quote, "They are an IRC 501c8 fraternal beneficiary societies and exempt from income taxes. They are not exempt from property taxes unless the communities want to exempt them," end quote. Only a handful of Elk lodges in New York State are not taxed. Carr said, and I quote, "At one time there were seven, but that could have been 10 years ago," end quote. The Hudson Elk Lodge 787 did not pay property taxes in 2009 and 2010 when records from the assessor's office are available, and the lodge applied for exemption in October 2014 and was listed as exempt in the final assessment rolls for 2015 and 2016, according to public records. In Catskill, Lodge 1341 paid $5,464.31 in property taxes for 2016. Hudson tax assessor Cheryl Kazluga said she was comfortable granting Lodge 787 an exemption, one for 243 properties that pay no taxes in Hudson. She said, and I quote, "This is not just the Elks. I check all the exemptions in the city of Hudson, such as Enhanced Star, the school tax relief program, age exemptions, disability exemptions, and nonprofits," end quote. But the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance Assessor's Manual says, and I quote, "This statute allows an exemption solely for the Grand Lodge of a fraternal organization. Local chapters are not entitled to exemption under the provisions of this statute," end quote. The Elks have a national office in Chicago. Hudson Assessor Kazluga said, and I quote, "If I was incorrect in applying the exemption on any of the nonprofits, I would remove them," end quote. She added that she has, and I quote, "a problem signaling out the Elks Club because everyone who walks through that door wants to know about the Elks," end quote. The Elks, though, refuse to comment about the Elks. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Melanie Lekachevic reports in the Daily Mail that during a public hearing on Coxsackie's proposed budget for next year, town councilman Michael Veder asked to eliminate any tax increase for village homeowners. Veder said, and I quote, "Everyone took a hit last year with library taxes going up this year. It would be great to get the village taxes down to a 0% increase," end quote. The town council then shifted some figures around in the ambulance fund, and now village taxes will not increase, and town homeowners have a 0.52% increase. No jobs are cut in the budget, and there is a 2% pay rise for town employees. Coxsackie also gets a used ambulance from the town of Hunter in the budget, which is expected to be voted on November the 15th. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Joseph Spector in the Poughkeepsie Journal talked with local law enforcement officials about the impact of neighboring state Massachusetts recently voting to allow marijuana sales as of December 15. Rensselaer County Sheriff Patrick Russo said the county will have to monitor the Massachusetts law, saying it, and I quote, "does not impact us a lot. I can foresee people going over the border from New York, buying an ounce and coming back. Or I can see them going over there and actively smoking it and then driving back under the influence of marijuana," end quote. Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York legislators have only so far approved a very stringent medical marijuana law. Spokesman Bo Duffy said when asked about the new law across the border, and I quote, "state troopers will continue to enforce New York's marijuana laws as they do now," end quote. You can read that full story in the Poughkeepsie Journal. Lauren Stanforth reports in the Albany Times-Union that a land sale for the state-funded convention center is in the midst of a state corruption scandal. Political contributions to Governor Andrew Cuomo, the report shows, overlapped with deals for the 82,000-square-foot Capitol Center. The story says, and I quote, "Columbia Development sold to the Albany Convention Center Authority in 2014 for $4.05 million. Public records indicate the sales took place about 2 weeks before a limited liability company run by a developer, Joseph Nicolia, and involved in the land deal, gave $50,000 to Governor Andrew Cuomo's campaign fund. Among $150,000 in donations reported by the governor's campaign that day from LLCs tied to Columbia," end quote. In September, Nicolia, 59, pleaded not guilty to a bid-rigging charge, a low-level felony carrying a maximum of 4 years in prison. The convention center land deal is not the story. The story in the Albany Times-Union says, and I quote, "but the interplay of large campaign contributions and public contracts has recently drawn the scrutiny of federal and state prosecutors, even when there is no allegation of criminal wrongdoing, because they can illuminate the relationships of individuals involved," end quote. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting rain likely today, mainly after 11 a.m., It will be cloudy with the temperature high near 47 degrees. For Tuesday night, a chance of showers mainly before midnight, mostly cloudy with a low around 39. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 54 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 39. And on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 57 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 35. The sun rose this morning at 6:47 a.m. and will set at 4:33 p.m., That will provide us with 9 hours and 45 minutes of daylight, about 2 minutes less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Tuesday, the 15th day of November 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.